Next thing you know, I see like three guys trying to grab him. So he's like fighting these guys. Like the groomsmen, like he had like four guys on him. Like, he's
not
grabbing
a good look.
He's grabbing one guy's tie and they're
not
just
a good look.
So I'm just like,
Welcome to the podcast that is guaranteed to improve not only your photography, but your mind, body, and spirit as well. Full of interviews with the top image makers in the industry, where we talk photography, drink whiskey, and fill up the bathtub with High Life and PBR. So grab a juice box and a handful of unsalted almonds and get ready for the show.
It's day four of WPPI, and we are kicking off the day with photographer Daryl Hosching. Daryl, hailing from Toronto, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, man.
How the hell are you?
I'm great, man. I feel charged up, energetic.
Still on day four? How many days have you been
here?
Well,
I came, Monday? Monday was a write-off. I was, like, done Monday.
Yeah? Like, have you been behaving yourself?
No.
So staying out late?
Yes.
But still able to get up in the morning?
So I'm on Eastern time, man.
How do you do it?
Eastern time.
What does that mean? We're in Pacific.
Right.
You're still on Eastern.
My body is on Eastern.
You kept it on Eastern.
I didn't choose to. The life chose me.
your subconscious
yeah.
is on Eastern time.
Oh, I'm waking up 4 o'clock every morning, man, just wide awake. So eyes like wide open, fully functioning.
So for the people who don't know what you do, what do you do? Nothing. Who are you?
Nothing.
Nothing. Nada. No. Not a damn thing.
Nah, you know, Daryl Hosching from Daryl Hosching Photography. You know, I specialize in weddings and portraits, and I'm most known for my use of off-camera flash. And, you know, I've been teaching off-camera flash. I just dropped my ebook, Creating Dramatic Portraits with Off-Camera Flash. So that ebook is out now. So head on over to my page, DarrellHosching.com, and you'll cop the book, man.
I totally introduce you as Daryl, not Daryl.
Yeah.
How often does that happen?
So pretty much what happened was, it was a cold night, 1978, and no, just kidding.
I'm the king of messing up names. I will know people for years, and then right when I get to their name, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah. No, so basically my name is Darrell. It's spelled D-E-R-R-E-L, but growing up, I just went by Daryl. I don't know, I just went by Daryl.
Oh, so I was right.
Yeah, you were kind of right, you know what I mean? But so I went by Daryl my whole life. Right. Everyone called me Daryl. My parents are Jamaican, so they butcher the English language, so you can't really go by what they say.
Can you do a really good Jamaican accent?
I can.
That's probably one of my favorite accents. I love foreign accents in general, one of my hobbies is just trying to do them.
Yeah.
I can't really do any of them. But
I mean, Americans say I have a Jamaican accent. Every time I cross the border, they're like, who's this Jamaican guy? I was like, whoa, how'd you know?
It definitely doesn't sound like you have a Canadian accent. I would say that. Would you say that? Is that fair?
I don't even know what a Canadian, like, what is a Canadian
what
accent?
What do you mean? What is it? So did you grow up in Canada?
Born and raised.
Born and raised.
44 years, man.
And you don't know what a Canadian accent is?
Listen, if you're inside a house and someone's cooking all this food.
Yeah.
Do you smell the food on you?
Maybe. Depends on the
food. No, it's not. No.
I don't know. I'm confused by the question.
Yeah, so what were we talking about before we...
There it was a little bit, about. It's a little bit on the about, not about, you know? So that's. I think that was the first indication
Americans always say that, and I don't think we say, at least I don't say about. I probably say...
It wasn't that bad.
I think I say about.
Yeah, all right, so it's somewhere in the middle. I like it.
Somewhere, yeah, because that's the Jamaican coming out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
a Jamaican, so...
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I caught myself, I go, I say a boat, like, you know, like a boat in the water.
Yeah.
That's how I pronounce it.
Nice.
Y'all say about.
Yeah. So how did you get into photography? When did it start?
Do you want the trailer or do you want the full feature director's cut
how good
DVD
is the, how
version?
How good is the trailer?
Well, I can make the trailer good. Trust right. me. I've been artistic my whole life. I was literally just thinking about this the other day. My artistic nature or whatever started when I was young, man. I was drawing. I was good with just cartoon stuff. And then my mom put me in art school Saturday mornings, so I was going to like art school, you know. So, but I was like 10 maybe, 9, 10, 11-ish, maybe even younger than that. And then in the 90s, I got into hip-hop, got into like graffiti art. So I was doing a lot of tagging, a lot of lettering. So I'm still pretty good with lettering, shading, making stuff look 3D. So I was good with like the 3D lettering. So then with that, got into like music, rapping, making beats. And, you know, you making mixtapes, you know, yeah. You got to make our album cover. So I was taking pictures with a little point and shoot. You know, I had like my crew and, you know, we'd be out, we'd go to New York, we'd go, you know, travel, whatever. And I was like, yo, let's album cover, mixtape cover. So I was composing it and I wouldn't center it. Basically, I was applying the rule of thirds, but not realizing, not even knowing it was called the rule of thirds. But what I was thinking was, I'm like, nah, it just looks better to the side. Yeah. Like I have you against this cool brick wall. You know, you got your little hat on. And you know. I said, nah, in the center, nah, put them to the side. And then what I'm thinking is the track listing is going to go there, or like the title, or like the text. So I was thinking the final product before I even shot.
True designer.
And this is, I knew nothing about photography. Yeah. I didn't know what an F-stop was. I didn't know rule of thirds, didn't know any of that stuff. It was just my creative mind told me, nah, don't put it in the center. Move it to the side a little.
Yeah, your preference.
Yeah, so I was just doing a lot of that. And then a friend of mine in 2009, he was like, yo, you should get like a camera. And I never thought about that. I was like, a camera? Like, nah, that's like, you know, professional people get like, you know, a camera. Like I had point and shoot, like a Sony CyberShot. So, hey, I've been shooting Sony from day one, baby. So shout out to Sony. But I had the little CyberShot.
Yeah.
7.1 megapixels. That was like, ooh. Yep. And that was what I was shooting with. And it was crazy because using the flash, I was like, nah, the flash just makes it look ugly. Let me take the flash off. So I like the natural light better. So now when I get into to photography, I get like a real camera. My friend had a Nikon D90 at the time. So using that that camera, I'm still got point and shoot in my head. So he puts on the flash, right? The speed light, put it on. I was like, ooh, okay, this is some big, big professional type stuff, right?
Yeah.
And he showed me how to bounce the light. So he'd bounce it to the ceiling. And when he took that shot and I saw like the soft light, I was like, yo, my mind was just blown because the flash on the camera, from my experience, it was always just that ugly because it was just like flat right in your face. And it was just like, so
the pictures your aunt took of you.
Yeah.
During the holidays, just like, God, why are my eyes red?
I don't think black people had that problem. Red
eye. Really?
I don't know.
You guys don't have the red eye problem?
No,
that's not a universal thing?
Nah, it's not a black folk thing, man.
Is it a light eye thing?
I don't know. I never got it, man. Like, I was kind of mad growing up. Like, how come all my white friends get this red eye and I don't?
It was a specific
How come all my white friends look like the Terminator and I don't?
It was a specific type of camera, but that's pretty much all but gone away. I don't think, whatever that problem was, someone fixed it, you know?
Well, like, it was from what I understand, the flash and the lens is like, so the flash is going right into your eye.
They canceled out midair. Boom.
Yeah. So no, because when you have a speed light on top, now the speed light's a bit higher. So it's not on the same level as the lens. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah.
Like I got, see the flash and the lens is like right there. So the flash is going to go right in your eye. When you have like a speed light, it's kind of like on top.
Yeah.
So it's not directly. That's what I understand.
Who knows? Who do we go to? Who do we go to get this answer?
I don't know. This is on-camera flash. I do off-camera flash, so.
So when did you start getting paid for photography? What was like your first paid gig?
So I got my first camera October 2009. All right. Got my first camera. It was a Canon Rebel XSI or 450D or whatever they call it.
I had the T3i during that era. That was my
first
one.
That came after, I think. I
with the kit lens, I got it off Amazon and it had like all that shit, and it was like, look at all the stuff I get with it.
Yeah,
and
yeah, like, 12 shit. Megapixels.
And then like shortly after, like, shit, this lens sucks.
Yeah. So October 2009, I get my camera. So the first shoot I did, I called, you know, one of my rap homies. I said, hey, man, I got a real camera. Let's go do a shoot. So I did a shoot. And I just really loved with the bokeh. And a friend of mine at the time worked, a friend I grew up with, he worked for this camera company that supplied for Tamron. So he gave me a Tamron, what was it, 17 to 50, 2.8. So he just gave it to me for free. So that was like my first lens. And yeah, man, I 2.8 everything. I just blur that background out, man. Yeah. That was my... I still kind of do it today, but
what's,
you know,
better than bokeh?
Yeah, so I was just doing like that and posted on Facebook. And people were like, oh, you didn't take that.
Really?
Yeah, because it was just, I took it as a compliment because no one believed that I took it. Like, no, that's a professional. You jacked it off the internet or something. I was like, dude, that's my homie, man. Like, so I would say, I think it was a month, November, like a month, a rapper, you know, local rapper hit me up. He was like, yo, how much you charge for a shoot? I was like, charge? I'm like, dude, I'm having fun doing this for free. Yeah. Like, getting paid was not even on my radar.
Yeah.
So then I was like, hold on a second. This guy's going to pay me for me to do something that I was going to do for free.
Yeah. It's like getting paid to play video games.
And something that I enjoy doing. So I was like, $100? Sure, let's do it. I'm like, wait, what? So I did the shoot and I go, hold on a second here. I've been rapping since 1994. I've been rapping since 1994 up until 2008. And all the money I made in rap, I made more than that 1 month doing photography. Yeah. Picking up a camera in 1 month, I made $100.
That's what happens when you go from the hardest industry to the second hardest industry.
Right, right.
It starts coming in a little faster.
Yeah, so I was just like, okay, I see the potential here. So, and then what happens, what I caught on early is the power of tagging people.
Yeah.
Tagging people. So I have all my friends on Facebook because that at the time there was no Instagram. So had all my friends on Facebook, and I would post a photo, like, hey guys, I got a new camera, I'm just posting these photos so all my friends know I'm not a photographer. I'm Darrell Hoshing. I just picked up a camera. Now when let's say I shoot you, okay, so that first guy, he came to me, and I did a shoot with him. He posts the pictures, tags me in it, or I'll post him, tag him, either way. His network is seeing that photo now. So now they're coming on, commenting, liking. They don't know that I just picked up this camera. So now these people are following me.
Yep.
They don't know that I just got this camera last month. So I realize that, hey, these people are commenting. They're like, I go, they think I'm a professional photographer. And that's when I was like, oh, okay, I get it. The fake it till you make it kind of.
Yeah.
So it got to a point where half of my friends list was new people that just know me as a photographer, and then the other half were people that knew me from before. So now it's like, okay, I can't be on this, hey guys, I got this new camera, this one. Now I have to present myself as a professional.
Yeah.
So I started doing that. Nice. And I'm like, I don't care if my friends see that I'm putting on this front. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because the new people,
haters gonna hate anyway.
Yeah. You know? Right. The new people, now what happens is the new people are complimenting me and they're praising me. And now when my friends from 20 years ago, they're like, oh, shoot, hold on a second. Hoshing got some stuff here. Like, these people are praising him. And now when they see clients booking me, and then it slowly, oh, he got this paid gig, or he's doing this wedding. Oh, he got. And then gradually now it's like, okay, now it's like, you know, everyone knows that I'm a photographer right now. So that's kind of how I got into it. And I just fell in love with lighting, man. I just was... There wasn't any YouTube at the time. So I was going to the bookstores. I was going to Chapters. Yeah. Or I don't know what you guys have here. Barnes and Nobles or...
I think that's still around.
What, I don't know. Whatever.
Most of them got put out of work by Amazon.
Oh, true. You know? Yeah. But anyways, we had bookstores, Indigo, Chapters. That's what the big ones in Canada. And I would be there and just going to the photography section, just looking up through mad books. And I could only afford to buy one. So I'm like, okay, let me just sit here for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Go through, try Download to soak it. Up, try to like sneak some pictures. Yeah. But even camera, taking pictures with your phone, it wasn't really that big at the time. And the quality wasn't really that good. I'm like, So.
What are we in the iPhone 3 days? iPhone, what are we at?
Oh, I was BlackBerry, man. It was bad.
Still BlackBerry?
Hell to the no.
Do they still make BlackBerry?
I don't think so. I think they went out of, and they're a Canadian company too. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Dang.
Maybe I shouldn't promote that too. where was I? 2009. But yeah, that's basically how I got into it, man. Just fell in love with it, kept practicing, kept shooting, reading books. And I was reading Photoshop books. I was reading lighting books. I was reading just everything, landscape. Reading everything. And then I bought a Scott Kelby book. I bought a Brian Peterson Understanding Exposure book.
Yeah.
And I remember reading that and like just trying to understand that. And I think for me, the lighting, I learned a lot with Zach Arias. He came out with his One Light Workshop.
The One Light Workshop.
Yeah, that
is what got, actually, that was a huge inspiration for this company. Like, I had a very similar path to you of like, trying to find all this information and like, you know, only having access to books. I was living in Europe at the time. So even like getting them shipped over here took a month. So it was like finding them online, not being able to read through them, shipping them over, and then maybe they wouldn't arrive.
Mm.
But then I remember getting back and seeing the One Light Workshop back when I think you had to order it on DVDs, maybe. I don't remember, but I think so.
I might have gotten it from, anyways,
Torrent.
Yeah. Huh? What?
Bet. Hey, that was like the height of torrents. Like
It was.
It's almost impossible to find stuff now.
Yeah.
Like Google and everywhere's cracking down pretty hard. So
yeah. But yeah, the One Light Workshop, well, I watched that and that just opened my eyes to off-camera flash. Like I always loved off-camera flash, didn't really understand it. And then when I watched that, I was like, okay. And then I went out and then that's when it made sense. I'm like, okay, I understand it now. And when you understand it, that's when you can just
it clicks.
All
sorts
of, clicks.
And
it's funny now because it's like, I look at my photos from back then and I could just look at the XF data. I could just look at my settings and I'm like, I know what year I shot that.
Oh, really?
I can look at, just pull up a photo and just look at the settings. I'm like, I know what year I shot that.
Were you shooting manual right out of the box or did you go through different phases of the camera? Auto?
I did manual out the box, but I did, for a while when I was shooting weddings, I was doing aperture priority.
Yeah.
So I just set the aperture. I put auto ISO.
Yeah.
And then I was just shooting like that. But then I realized when it came time to editing, it wasn't consistent. So it took mad long to like edit. So I was like, nah, you know what? Manual, just as long as the lighting is consistent, boom, keep that same setting. And just it made my editing process a whole lot easier.
Yeah. Yeah. So who are most of your clients now? Where's most of your revenue coming from? What are they looking for?
Weddings, portraits. So it can range from birthday shoots, corporate headshots, lifestyle, like branding, and even just models just want, you know, some fire.
Yeah.
They want.
How are most people finding you today? What are you doing to get new clients?
Instagram is pretty much Instagram word of mouth. That's pretty much how I, you know, work with planners and stuff like that on the wedding side. And then the portrait side, it's really Instagram, man. Instagram, YouTube as well.
You have a YouTube channel?
I do.
What do you make on there? What do we find on there?
You're going to find lighting tutorials, behind the scenes. It's basically lighting.
It's your jam.
That's my jam
so
right there.
You mentioned earlier you have a book that just came out or coming out.
It's out already.
So what was that process like? What was the length it took for you to like actually get it done? And
so that's interesting. So how would I, it was a continuous process. So last year I spoke here at WPPI. So I did a seminar. So I had to create a presentation.
Yep.
So I started about January last year for March last year. So I just put up a thing on Keynote, which is the PowerPoint for Mac.
I love Keynote. Oh. Keynote is my jam.
So I only started using Keynote last year when preparing for my presentation. So I went to Keynote, didn't know how to use it, but I was like, it looks pretty simple. You don't really need a tutorial. You just have to open it up. I'm like, okay, yeah. I already know what to do. So put it together, and that was good. I did the presentation, and I've presented that many times. I just use that same presentation. So then when it came time to my ebook, I decided January this year that I want to do an ebook. And originally, my plan for this ebook was I just wanted a quick mobile guide for photographers. You're out in the field. This is just a quick guide you could pull up when you're on the field, out in the field. So that's why I wanted something mobile friendly, you know, just a quick guide that you can pull up. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to take my presentation and put it as an ebook. So I did it all on Keynote, and I just reformatted it for mobile portrait mode. And then the hard part came was because that was for a presentation. There wasn't a lot of words. It was all pictures.
Yeah.
Because prompts. I was speaking.
Yep.
Now, in this book, I got to put all the words
in. All the words.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, this isn't as easy as I thought. And as I was creating the book, I was like, no, I got to add more stuff, man. I got to add more. It can't just be a little quick, simple guide. I go, no, I got to, if I'm going to put it out, it has to be proper, a full out. So, yeah, man, I did that. And I guess the hard part was just putting words to the images, right? And finding the right images. So, okay, I'm going to explain this to you. I'm going to explain, you know, off-camera flash. I'm going to explain dramatic lighting. I'm going to explain high-speed sync. Okay, ND filter, whatever. Now I need examples. So this book, I did not, all my examples, I didn't shoot for the book. So it's not like I said, okay, I'm going to do this ebook. Let me go do a couple shoots so that I can create content for this book. I didn't do that.
Yeah.
All the images were all, I already shot these. These are real life examples. So I'm showing you how to shoot this in a real life situation. So I'm telling you, okay, the conditions, you know, we planned for this, but the weather turned out this way, so we had to do this. Or I wanted to do X, Y, Z, but then I explain, you know, just my thought process. It's not just a matter of here's a picture. So finding the right images to go with the words that I'm speaking. And having a YouTube channel and teaching and doing a lot of posting a lot of, you know, tutorials, I have mad BTS.
Yeah.
Like, I have so much behind the scenes. I've been taking behind the scenes photos of my shoots since they go back to 2010.
Do you get tired of it?
No.
Still have the enthusiasm to feed the social media beast?
Yeah.
You think you will get tired of it?
I don't know. I don't know. It is tiring to, like, learn the algorithm and do all that. Like, I just want to post some dope stuff. People like it. And you know what I mean? But like, it's not that. It's a lot more complicated than that.
Yeah. So how many weddings do you shoot a year? Is that what you mostly do, would you say?
I was doing a lot more, but kind of toned down a little. So just doing
people
a lot
stopped
more.
Getting married. People after the pandemic, it was a divorce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think there's divorce photographers? Is that a thing?
I heard about that.
Is there?
I made jokes about that, dude. Yeah.
There's got to be a market, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Probably. Who knows? Not. Who knows? Probably not. Listen, who knows, man? Who knows? Like, they're coming out with crazy stuff. I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. So how do you come up with your pricing? Is it just, you know, is it published on your website or is it per event? Like, how do you approach a job when someone comes to you and they want to get something done?
Well, I mean, this goes for everyone. It should go for everyone, but you're... experience. So number one, why are you coming to me? Right. And you're coming to me because, like I say, we all have the same cameras. We all have the same lenses. We all have the same lighting. We all have the same sky, same cloud, same, we all have the same everything. Right. But what makes us different? Right. it's up here what makes us different. It's me, personality. We're all individuals. So you're coming to me for me, my personality, my experience, like stuff that you can't get anywhere else. So you have to take that into consideration. How long I've been doing this. You know what I mean? Like, what I know what I provide. So there's that. There's travel. There's, you know, your expenses, your cost of doing business. There's a lot to factor in. So you can't just look at this person. Okay, well, we shoot the similar. He's charging that. Okay, I need to charge. No, like everyone has their own expenses, their own cost of doing business. So, you know, you got to do what works for you.
What's on your books the rest of this year? How far are you booked?
This year? It ranges. Like, you get people that will book out a year and a half, and then you get people that will book out in 3 weeks, a month.
What's the craziest thing that's happened at a wedding? Have you had any, like, nutso days of, like, what the hell was that?
A funny story I like telling. I mean, there's some wild stuff, but I don't want to tell it on 6 cameras in 8K. So I will, I'll tell this one funny story.
What if we switch it to 6K?
Still.
All right, too much.
Yeah, too much.
Too much. All right.
Maybe,
fair enough.
Maybe 720p or back in the day.
Yuck.
Okay. So
yuck.
I was shooting a wedding in Dominican Republic, and, this wedding took place off resort. So there's this little, beach. It's called Jellyfish restaurants. Like, a lot of people go shoot weddings there. So you'll stay on the resort, but then you'll take like a shuttle bus to this private restaurant, and they have like a beach, and then, you know, you have the wedding there, reception there, and then you take a shuttle bus back to the resort. Cool, very cool spot. A lot of people do it. So I'm there shooting the groom. Groom is Guyanese, and the bride is Croatian. So if you're familiar with these two nationalities.
Different.
Different, but they are quite fond of the alcoholic beverages.
Oh, yes.
So,
yes, the Croatians drink.
Yeah, so it's funny. So the bride's dad, he's at the bar. They have this little makeshift bar at the on the beach. So I look over. Dude, he's hunched over, throwing up. The wife's patting him on his back, rubbing his back. He's throwing up. I was like, oh, snap, dad's puking, right? There was this dude. So one of the bride's good friends, she was there with her man, her and they have a kid together. So she's there with her man. Now, I'm the wedding photographer. I don't know all these people, right? So to me, y'all are all friends. Y'all are all together. Cool. So that girl, her man, he was drinking with the dad. He's pissed drunk. Okay, so him and the dad, they're like falling all over. There's sand all over his face. Everyone's laughing, taking selfies. The daughter, like the bride, she's laughing, taking selfies. Cool. All right. So later on the night, I see the drunk guy who was the plus one of the girl. He's there with the groom, and I was like, okay, is everything okay? And then he's like yelling, getting really loud. I'm like, is everything okay? What's going on? And then next thing you know, I see like three guys trying to grab him. So he's like fighting these guys. Like the groomsmen, like he had like four guys on him. Like he's
not
grabbing
a
one.
Good look.
He's grabbing one guy's tie, and they're
not
just
not a good look.
So
yeah.
I'm just like, I'm like, do I take a pic?
100%. You tell me you didn't take a bunch of photos.
I did. Oh, right. I did. So the funny part now. So his girl, she's standing there and she's fuming. Like I could see the steam coming out, right? And she's just mad. She's just watching him, right? Four guys, five guys tackling, they're wrestling, and she's just standing there to way out the other side. And then she's like, ah! Like, you're embarrassing me. Yeah, she's just going off, right? Her friends were like holding her back. I swear, I saw her legs and hands in the air. Like she was trying to run over to go like murder this dude, and her friends were holding her back. You're embarrassing me, you piece of no! And just going off, and I'm like, you're kind of embarrassing yourself.
Yeah.
So So she's pissed off, whatever. End of the night, we got to take the shuttle bus back to the resort. So she's like, I'm not getting on that same bus with him. So she went on one bus, he went on another bus. So I'm on the bus with her. So the Croatian dad is on our bus, and she's just going off, like cussing the whole ride home. Next morning, he wakes up, no clue what's going on. Right, he doesn't remember anything. So he was just like, hey, man, I'm just sorry about last night and all this crazy stuff. It was funny, man. And the groomsmen, I was like, yo, man, your boy was crazy last night. He was like, my boy? That ain't my boy. I don't know him. He was a plus one. Like, he was like me. He didn't know anyone there, man.
He crashed the wedding?
No. He was there. A plus one. He was a plus one.
Got it.
Yeah. It was that was some pretty wild stuff. I got more wild stuff, but like I said, you know, I can't.
After.
Yeah. I can't say that on rolling. The 8K.
Yeah. I mean, we got to be careful. I mean,
I don't know who's watching this.
You don't want to get canceled 20 years from now.
No. Exactly.
20 years before.
Exactly.
So, what is it you love most about photography? What part of it is your favorite part?
Creating art. Creating, like, looking at real life and then creating something that totally wasn't there.
What about the editing process?
I love the editing process because that's part of the creation process too. So, you know, I get a lot of ideas from movies and stuff like that. So, you know, movies, I look at the lighting, I look at the color grading and stuff like that. So the color grading changes the story too. Like the editing can change the mood and everything. So
do you color grade at the beginning or end of your process? Or where is it at? Where is it done?
Beginning. That's just...
What's your workflow? Are you Lightroom, Capture One?
Lightroom.
Do you even open Photoshop? You try to do everything in Lightroom?
I try to do everything in Lightroom. If there's something that needs a little bit more, then I'll take it in.
Have you hopped on the AI train for Lightroom? There's some
I have
exciting looking tools out there.
Yeah, I've messed with that. It's pretty impressive actually.
I've heard several photographers discuss or you know that their workflows are essentially like they shoot the whole wedding, they're uploading it to the cloud through Lightroom on the way home. By the time they get home, the whole thing is edited. They just have to do like the final double check.
Crazy.
But so what's your take on the whole AI thing? There's a kind of common denominator of, oh, it's coming to take our jobs. You know, are you seeing that online? And what's your position?
Of course. Yeah. I think it's like any technology that we've had. So, you know, I come from music. So we, you know, DJs had vinyl, right? DJs were, using vinyl. And a lot of my DJ friends, you know, the early 2000s, they didn't want to switch to like CDs and Serato because that wasn't true hip hop. That wasn't real hip hop.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were like all these, what do they call them? Like, basically, with the technology now, it's like anyone at home can be a DJ. So now it's like, they were like, okay, it's the same thing. Okay, these guys, they're threatening our, but the true, you know, a real, you know what I'm saying, authentic, you know, DJ or photographer or whatever. So I think the art always going to, I think the art is always going to, you know, if the masses are, okay, we're professionals and then you have the masses. The masses can't do what we do. So you can give them all the tools. They still can't do what we do, right? Look at the iPhone, okay? iPhone 14 Pro Max, crazy, crazy camera.
Yeah.
Everyone has a camera.
Yeah.
But when they see my photos, they freak out.
Yeah.
Like I was on the plane coming here and I was just, you know, taking pictures of the Grand Canyon. And I was just, you know, taking some shots on my iPhone. And the lady beside me, she's like, whoa, like she's freaking out because she saw me take the photo and then she's seeing it like instantly how it looked. And she's like, wow. A funny story. I was in Miami shooting for Nick Cannon and I was coming back. This is waiting for my Uber to the airport. So I see these two guys and they're, trying to take pictures. So I said, hey, you want me to take a picture of you guys? They're like, yeah. So he gives me his phone, his iPhone. So I throw that bad boy in portrait mode. And then, you know, I crouch down, I get the angles, you know, I tell them to pose and everything. And I take a few shots and I give it to them. And they're like, yo, they're freaking out because number one, it was with his camera, right? It's not like I use my camera and showed him. I use his camera. So now he was like, yo, I've never seen a dope photo taken on my phone like that, right? So he was just, so I gave him my business card. So he's like, oh, you're a photographer, okay. So he goes, yo, how much for a shoot? I was like, yo, honestly, like, I'm literally leaving. My Uber's here in 5 minutes, like. Yeah. I was like, actually, you know what? So I said, I got 5 minutes. I go, I'll do a quick shoot with you, $30, right? I'll go, I'll Wi-Fi the images to you. So I had my camera, my Sony. So I snapped, maybe 10 shots. And then I Wi-Fi'd it to my phone. And then I airdropped it to him. And he just gave me $30. Now, remember, I'm Canadian. So he gave me $30 US. And I'm on my way home. Stopped at the airport. Got me a nice steak. Yeah. So to me, I was like, yeah, for the time and the amount of work I did and the money I got, I was like, that was a win. That was $30, snap for 5 minutes, no editing.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got a nice steak out of it.
So you said you're a Sony shooter. What's in your camera bag?
Not a lot.
Keep it small for staying lightweight?
Not a lot because, so I came from Canon, and when I was with Canon, I had... Bro, I was like a mini B&H, man. I was like, got my own little Adorama right here. So I had like mad lenses, just whole new shit comes out. And I was just, can I? Sorry, I didn't mean to edit that out.
No, we cuss.
Oh, okay, I wasn't sure.
You can say fuck, yep. Shit, balls, cock, all of it.
Whoa, get it all out.
This is not a kid's show.
Whoa, simmer down. So yeah, so I had like mad gear. And then when I switched to Sony, I had to get rid of all my gear, which hurt. And then at that point, I was like, you know what, man? I don't need all this.
Yeah.
Just, I guess, rebuilding my arsenal. Now I'm just like, oh, man, I ain't trying to spend all this money, man. Yeah. You look back as like, I had that lens and I had that lens. Okay. How different are they really?
Yep.
Right? So now I have a 28 F2 Sony. I have an 85 1.8 Sony. I have a 135 1.8 Sigma Art lens. Those are my three main lenses. And then, a couple Chinese brands have sent me lenses that I, you know, but those are the three lenses I use. 28, 85, and 135. That's weddings, portraits. That's
what I think the 135 is my favorite.
Beast.
I love it.
Beast. But it's not the most practical. So
no.
My 85, that's... No. That gets the most, because it's
most versatile.
Yeah, definitely. It's light. First of all, it's 85. Perfect. Perfect for portraits. It's 1.8. Dude, it's sharp too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's sharp. Like, oh, it's just, ugh. Like it's just, yuck, sharp. Yeah. So I was just like, for me personally, like I look at like the G Master version. I'm like, I'm good, man. Like I can't justify the extra money for the difference in quality.
Yep.
It's already amazing, so I'm good, man.
Yeah.
My 130, like the Sigma, though, that's beast, man.
Sigma's made in the last 4 years, 5 years. You know, Sigma, at least for me, I think my perception of Sigma like 8 or 10 years ago was not great, you know? Like,
It was
it's just a
third party. Ooh,
I mean... Pound for pound, you really can't get better, especially on Sony. There's so many options.
Well, what I've learned, I mean, for me, as I get more knowledge, as I get more experience, I realize I can get it done with minimal equipment.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes I'll just have all the big equipment just for perception. you know what I mean? I'll just have the big lights and all that. I'm like, I don't need all that, man. I could use a speed light. But nah, you know, let me just... Yeah. So sometimes it's a perception. They want to feel like they're getting their money's worth, right?
For sure.
But yeah, I realize I'm like, yo, I can get all this done with minimal gear, man. I don't need all the...
Less is more.
Less is more. Less is better.
Nice.
So
what's the rest of your week look like? What do you got going on?
Nothing. I'm going home tonight.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Well, I had my photo walk yesterday, which is good. This year was a little quiet for me. Last year was very busy. I was... kind of toned it down a little this year. So today I'm just kicking it.
Wrapping it up.
Wrapping it up, man.
Nice. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate
it. Yes, man. Thank you for having me.
Meeting you. Yeah. Where can people go to find your work?
All right. You can find me on Instagram, Darrell Hoshing Portraits. That's DERRELHOSHING. I'm pretty sure you know how to spell portraits.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I ain't trying to spell all that right now. You can catch me on YouTube, Darrell Hoshing Photography. You can catch me on Facebook. I don't even know what is it? Darrell Hoshing? Yeah. What's your?
You'll find it.
Who knows? Yeah. Just type my name and you find that. Yeah.
Hey, guys, go find it.
Yeah. Also, download the ebook, Creating Dramatic Portraits with Off-Camera Flash with Darrell Hosching. We got 84 pages. I take you through my thought process. I make off-camera flash easy for those of you that are intimidated, scared. You don't need to be scared. Which one of these cameras? Yeah,
all of them.
All of them. All right. You don't need to be scared with off-camera flash. I make it look easy. And that's funny. Like, we were talking about, like, Zach Arias and, like, the One Light Workshop. And I look back at, because times change, the technology changes, I don't shoot that way anymore. And now that we have, you know, high-speed sync is, you know, mainstream, where it wasn't so mainstream back then. So, and that was why I said I could look at an image, I could just look at the settings, and I could tell when it was shot.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, man.
Thank you, man.
Have a safe trip home.
All right.
All right. Cheers.
Well, that's all for today's podcast. Join us next time for more interesting discussion about the wonderful world of photography and her dark, magical secrets. I'm fascinated with Instagram. It's such a simple construct. Just take a picture and post it on the internet. The other day, I took a picture of my neighbor's pet rabbit. He told me not to post it, but, you know, I did anyway. Wow.